with Anna Reed on August 22nd, 1991. We're talking about the church and your funerals and so forth. You mentioned earlier the revivals. How often did these take place?
Every year around August, around about this time of the year, you would go from 1 week to the next. The whole month of August was...
At
different churches. Mm-hmm. And they call it lay-by time, you know. By the time you'd have your cotton hoed and everything and the watermelons would be ripened and all that, and you would go to revival meeting. They'd start revival meeting the first month in August and go on until the last month. Because I remember when I joined the church, it was in August, and we were baptized in a pond. I joined the church that third week in August, and I didn't get baptized until the third week in September. And by that time, it was cold. And I was baptized in a branch. They had dammed up this branch, and me and all the other kids who joined had on our little white robes, and we marched down this embankment into this river. They had dammed it up, and I was cold, because that was in September when we were baptized.
How old were you at the time?
I was 10 or 11 when I joined the church.
When you would go to a revival, how long would the service last?
Too long, it seemed to me then. It's too long. And I guess if we'd get home, because we rode in the wagons when we went. I remember riding in the back of the wagon. And because my brothers had the car, you know, they had the little A-mall. And all the kids were in the back this way. We'd get home around 10 o'clock at night.
What time would it start?
Start around 7:30.
Would you take food or eat before you went?
No, we ate before we went.
Was all of this preaching or were there...
Preaching and singing.
Was it congregational singing or did they bring in special musicians?
Most of them, they had... choirs, different choirs from different churches. We still do that now.
Any special soloist or anybody like that?
No, we just had special choirs. We still do that now. Have our different choirs from different churches. Sometimes we invite three choirs for one night, and each one would sing a selection. And by the time they sang two selection, and the minister preached, it was time to go home.
Long time.
Yeah.
One of the things that was popular in some areas was camp meetings. Did you go to any of those?
Mm-hmm. Used to go to one in Pendleton.
Where was it held?
At Bethel Church. But and it wasn't in the same place where it is now. Bethel Church used to be over there near the old, Presbyterian Church in Pendleton. By the graveyard there, the oldest church in Pendleton.
St. Paul's. Episcopal?
Yeah, Episcopal, right. Yes. Okay, Bethel used to be over near there, and they had camp meetings there. I remember going there. And then the one over here at, they had another Bethel on the, what's this street going into Seneca now? It used to be over there near where New Hope Baptist Church is now.
Shallow Road.
Shallow Road, okay. It was on Shallow Road. And that was the big thing. They had one at Central, at this Methodist church. They only had them at Methodist churches.
The Baptist didn't do
that. Baptist didn't have camp meetings.
But apparently you would go to
We went because we could see the boys and you know, for a long time, I didn't know they were having services inside. I thought it was just go and loll around and talk and buy and have your pictures made and buy potato pie and hot dogs and stuff, because there was somebody selling something the whole time. And honestly, I was grown when I realized that they had service inside.
Surprised your parents didn't make you go inside.
I don't know. I really don't know why. I told somebody, I said, you know what? I said, I didn't know they were having service in there. And she said, yeah, they had some of the best singing and preaching in there you want to hear.
Well, what was different from the camp meeting and the revival?
Well, the camp meeting was, they had a whole lot of shouting and carrying on in the camp meeting and thing inside, because they'd have a minister who would come from somewhere else, would be considered a dynamic speaker, and they stayed in there just about all day. Now, that's where they stayed all day. They, one sermon would be preached, and then another man would come and preach, and that was different. But at our revival meeting, we just had the minister. Sometimes he was an invited minister from somewhere else, the same as we do now. And then we'd have a couple of choirs to sing, and that was it.
Were any of these places, did any of these camp meetings involve staying overnight, or did you go for the day and then return home that night?
We'd come home that night. They just started in the morning on Sunday morning and last all day.
I know my grandmother would go off to camp meetings where they had facilities to stay, and she would stay perhaps a week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there was also a campground up around Liberty. Did you ever go over there?
I didn't get that far.
And what you're saying about the Methodist and the Baptist, it doesn't sound like there was any serious conflict between the two. You just went to whichever was...
Whichever one you wanted. Yeah, mm-hmm. You wanted to.
What other black churches were there between besides the Methodist and the Baptist?
I don't remember any other church. Now, at Norris, they had a Presbyterian church, a black Presbyterian. They still have it. But those were the only churches that I knew of or I attended when I grew up, as I was growing up, the Methodist and the Baptist church.
What about the Fire Baptized Holiness?
I never went to that. They had a Fire Baptized Holiness church in Seneca, and this Reverend A.J. Brown used to preach there. I think they still have it. But you know, I never did attend that church. The church that I grew up, I guess it was people then. People now said that they were too dignified or something. But I don't know how they would say that. But we didn't have a whole lot of patting and clapping and shouting going on. And it might have been because of the people who belonged there, because our organist was Professor Beeks, and he was our musician. We never did sing gospel songs. You know, I can sing gospel songs now? And that's why I can't sing them now. We got a choir at our church now that can really sing. It's called a concert choir. And they sang so pretty. I cannot sing those gospel songs. And I said, because of my upbringing, because Mr. Beeks never let us sing that. We sang hymns. On the hymn books and anthems.
Why didn't he like the gospel song?
It just wasn't. He just said it wasn't for church services.
Are you talking about what we consider spirituals or gospel songs like Down by the River or Washed in the Blood?
No, I'm not talking about. We sang spirituals, but I'm talking about these gospel songs. I never get there and sang about I feel good, and all that. He didn't have that in our church. When he was our organist, we didn't sing that. We sang out to him and Negro spirituals.
And you also had a organ, you say.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A small pump organ?
No, we had not the pump kind. We did at home. We had a pump organ. But at church, we had I guess it was an electric because it was plugged in.
When you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. But now at home, we had a pump organ when you get on there. And my sister could play a little bit. None of us learned to really play it. I don't know where it came from, really.
Since we're briefly onto utilities, I suspect when you were born, your house didn't have electricity.
Mm-mm, didn't.
How old were you? Do you remember when you got electricity?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I guess I must have been 12 or 11, because I remember... And I wished I had. Now, that's one of our lamps. See that lamp right over there?
Mm-hmm.
Nicole?
A kerosene lamp.
Kerosene lamp. We had them, had one in every room. And in the living room, we had it was called a gas lamp. It was stainless steel and had a pretty globe. And we didn't burn that except on Sundays. We company came Sunday nights. And I wished I had kept that. I don't know what happened to it. But I remember we got rural electricity When I guess I was around 13 or somewhere in that age, we got rural electricity.
What about indoor plumbing?
No, we went to the outhouse. And that's this picture right up here looks like our outhouse. It's not it, but it was just like that. And I don't remember, but I was grown and gone from home before we, when my dad and us bought the house over on Butler Street in Westminster, where we got plumbing and everything and running water and everything. We had a well on the porch, on the back porch, and you drew water, and it had a shed over it. We had no indoor plumbing at all.
What about a telephone?
No, that was unheard of. We had a radio, had a little battery radio. I remember we used to listen to Joe Louis fight. And you couldn't, the static would be so bad sometimes you could hardly hear it. And television at that time was unheard of when I was growing up.
You mentioned Joe Louis. What other celebrated black people did you know of who were living at the same time as you were when you were growing up?
Is that right? Oh, I guess the musicians like Rosetta Tharpe and Billie Holiday, because we had records. We had a graphophone. We did have that, a graphophone, you know, with the little dog looking in the thing. And we had a graphophone, and we had records, these long 48-inch records, and we had records of Billie Holiday. And what's his name that died? Not Marian Anderson. Mahalia Jackson. We had records of her.
Did any noted black speaker or leader or educator or singer, entertainer come in the area, people that you got to see and hear?
I don't remember any. And that came from a fall that were well known. I sure don't remember any.
Let's take you on to Seneca. You mentioned that before. You went to Seneca for the...
For the 11th grade.
The 10th also?
The 10th and 11th grade.
And you moved in with the family, your relatives. Did you stay...
No, I lived at Seneca. They had dorms at Seneca, and I lived in one of the dorms at Seneca Junior College.
Would you go home on the weekends or stay there?
Go home on weekends. And we had to wear uniforms. They were blue skirts and white blouses.
How long was your school day at Seneca?
I guess about normal, like now. I remember getting up at, going to class at 8 o'clock, and about 3 we were out.
Did you have different teachers in different periods during the day, or was it just one?
Different people. We had a French teacher from, he was from Florence, but he had lived in France. And he was a good French teacher. I learned to speak a little bit of French.
Do you remember his name?
What was his name? I don't know, but I know Mr. McDuffie. Harrison, his name was Harrison, Mr. Harrison. Professor Harrison. And McDuffie was our chemistry teacher. Morris McDuffie. Then he came on to be the principal of Clearview High School. And he was my daughter's principal. Mr. McDuffie flunked everybody in chemistry one time. And he would tell you right away, he said, I'm gonna put the test on the board. He said, he'd leave the books open. He'd go out the room and he said, you can look in the books if you want to, but it's not in the book. so he flunked the whole class. There's about 8 of us, or 9 or 10 of us in this class. He flunked us all. But... He gave us the test over again. He gave us another one. But this is one he made up himself.
Were there only male teachers?
Yeah, I think we did. We only had male teachers. We really did. They were all male teachers. I remember a woman teacher at all.
Was Seneca still offering the lower grades then?
Yeah, I think they were. But that, see, and right about that, the last year that I was there, they closed. I was 15, 16. I was 16 when I graduated. And then that was in... That was in 39 or whatever. Anyway, that was when I finished that year, that was it. Because they had 2 years college too there. But I didn't get to go to 2 years college there. I went to Friendship and took 2 years college.
So you were in the last graduating class mm-hmm. at Seneca?
Mm-hmm. The last one.
The high school
part. Right, the high school part.
Tell us a little bit about Friendship.
Well, Friendship... had lots of students because the only other black school that we were allowed to attend then that we could go, because see it was the law of the land that blacks didn't go to white colleges then. The only way we could go to college, we would have to go to Columbia, Orangeburg, and parts down there. And there were no trains going that way. So there was a train straight, it came through Westminster, you get trained there and ride all the way to Rock Hill, change to Blacksburg, and go on into Rock Hill. And a lot of kids from up this way went to Friendship because of that easily access to getting there. And then there were buses that you could ride straight through, you know. And but because we had to sit in the back of the bus when we rode on the bus and the train. But that got us back and forth to school, and that's where I met Lord, my husband. He was down there a year ahead of me. And Friendship was a very nice school. They had good teachers. And they had a work area. If the parents couldn't afford to pay for going, they had a farm. And you could go out there and work on this farm. And many of the boys did. But... I had a little job of working with one of the teachers who was there, her family, Mrs. Worley, and her husband was football coach. And I cleaned their apartment for them. That was my way of making some extra change. And we had good teachers. And the dorms were nice, good. We had good facilities and had a girl dorm. The girls were separate from the boys. Boys on one side of the street, we were on the other side.
Do you have rigid rules at the dorms?
Yes, Lord.
Uniforms to wear?
Yeah, uniform. And we weren't far from Winthrop College, and we wore the same kind of uniform that Winthrop College wore. And on Mondays, we got all lined up, and the house mother would take us shopping uptown, and we went in a dress, and Winthrop College did the same thing. They would get in the line and go up to town to shop. And on Sunday mornings, Winthrop got in the line and they went to some church. We went in line up the New Prospect Baptist Church about Friendship. We'd go up there in the mornings, 10 o'clock, and then stay for services, get back home and eat, go down in the dining hall and eat. And everybody did very well.
Friendship was a Baptist college, wasn't mm-hmm. it? And it's gone out of existence,
right.
too.
Yeah, it went out of existence. It was a good college, too.
Do you remember how long it operated?
It had, I have a thing in here that tells, but I don't know exactly when. But it had been there several years. But it closed, and I had been gone from there a long time when it closed. Because my baby sister went to school there, too.
Rock Hill was a considerably bigger town than Westminster.
Yes.
Were there more exciting places to go?
Yeah, but we didn't get to go to the big exciting place. We went to the high school football game, the basketball game, which was at Chester. They had Chester High School. And they had the best football team in the state back down at that time. And we'd go to that, and we'd go... we couldn't go uptown to the... the little honky-tonk places. They had them uptown, but we didn't go. The boys did, you know, they could go off campus. And we had football games at the campus on the, around Thanksgiving time and all that. They'd have homecoming games and stuff like that. But we didn't get to go uptown too much to the hot spots.
Were there, I assume, picture shows in...
Mm-hmm, they had picture shows. Once in a while, we were allowed to go to a movie, but we were chaperoned. Everywhere we went, we were chaperoned. I don't care where it was. We had our, the house mother was with us.
Not much chance to get into trouble.
No, weren't any chance at all.
Well, when you were shopping at Rock Hill, did you feel any distinction in the way that black and white girls from Friendship in Rock Hill were treated?
Well, it was the same thing. You had to get in line. You couldn't. You weren't waited on first. That was the only thing that I ever noticed. But we could try on things and everything there. But you had to get in line. You couldn't. They wouldn't serve you first. I remember that distinctively.
Was there any of either the hostility or rude treatment that we saw in that scene in Color Purple?
You know, I don't think so. I don't remember anything like that happening.
Well, you're talking about being chaperoned. I think you've told me before when we were talking that there were places around Westminster and elsewhere called hot suppers, and your folks would never let you go to those.
Right. I never got to go to them.
How come?
My father was, he was a strict man. He was like this commercial, this when he spoke, my daddy spoke, everybody listened. And he just didn't allow us to go to them. So that it just wasn't the place for a lady or a young girl to be seen. And we didn't get to go to those places.
Well, now you must have talked to other people to find out what was going on and why you didn't get to go.
I know there was a lot of smooching going on. And then at that time, they had what was called moonshine, white lightning. And they had that in there. And that was a no-no at my daddy's house.
Why were they called hot suppers?
Well, I guess everybody would get so fired up, heated up. Most of the time, they wind up having a fight. You know, somebody would fight. And it just wasn't the place my daddy said for us to be.
Where would these be held? Obviously not at churches.
No, not at churches. They had a little honky-tonk up there. At Westminster, they call it, my brother-in-law called it the Deuce Grouge Inn. It was so small.
What was its real name?
I don't know its real name. The man that owned it lived up on Butler Street. He still lives there now. And they call it the Deuce Grouge Inn.
What was his name?
Hallam's. And I never went in that place. I knew it was there, but I have never been in it. But I had an idea what was going on in there.
What types of black businesses were there in Westminster? Were there any black stores of any kind?
No, they had over on Butler Street. They had a little this shop, and you might have interviewed Mr. Perry. He had a little shop, a little where you could buy candy and stuff like that. But other than that, they had barbers. But they did it in their home. They cut hair. And if you went to a beauty parlor, lady, you had to come to Seneca. They had beauty parlors in Seneca.
Black-owned beauty parlors. Mm-hmm. So there was no way in Westminster to go to a beauty shop?
Mm-mm, not in Westminster.
We've also talked about cars. There was regular train service, too, between Westminster and Seneca. Was that easy to take or too expensive or what?
No, it wasn't. I remember catching the train coming to Seneca. And I think what was 15 or 20 cent. And you knew what time it was coming back. You can get to the depot and catch it coming back to Westminster.
Well, you mentioned in passing before riding in the back of the train in the car.
Yeah.
In the back of the car on the train.
It was up front in the train, but it was up near the engine.
So there would be a car that had both black people nearest the engine and then white people farther away from
the engine. And we were up there with all the hot, the heat and the soot and all that. And sometimes, really, you would get dirty in the train because of I guess it was the coal dust and stuff coming back on you.
When I used to ride the Southerner from Mississippi to either Greenville or later they had a stop at Clemson in the 50s, there were separate coaches because that, mm-hmm. of course, was a long train and mm-hmm. enough people to fill up lots of different coaches. You said 15 or 20 cents for the train. Did you usually have pocket money when you were a girl?
Yeah, I don't know how I got it, though. I guess my dad would give us change because he would give us little chores to do. We had, all of us had some chores to do. And I did the ironing at home. My older sister did the washing and the cooking. And I did the ironing because I could iron better than anybody else, I thought. And they thought. But my daddy would give us a little change. He never let, and he always told us, don't ask anybody for money and don't accept money from anybody, because he thought that would obligate us to be, you know, that we'd be obligated to do whatever they want us to do. So he always gave us a little change. I never had a whole lot of money, but I remember having a dollar or two.
Did you or your brothers or sisters do chores for other people for money?
Mm-hmm. My brothers, they worked at this sawmill, the Thrift Brothers. You know, Thrift Brothers, I hear so much about it. They worked on that at that sawmill. And my mother never worked in away from home because there were 10 of us, and she never really had time. And we were, and everybody stayed home until they got just about grown before they left. But I would babysit for a lady, and I've forgotten her name now, but I would babysit for her, and my mother would wash, when we washed on Mondays, that was our wash day, my mother would wash her clothes, this lady that I babysat for. And my sister, my older sister, she lived in with a family after she got grown out of high school. She lived with this family, he was a doctor. Anyway, she lived in with them and helped with their children. But those were the only ones. And after that, you know, we were gone. We were away from home and our own family.
I wanted to ask one more question about black and white kids growing up together. And this is actually about your husband, but you've told me this story before. Let's get it on tape. We've talked once or twice about a piece of old Calhoun gossip with a white family. We don't need to go into that particular story right now, I don't suppose, but I'd ask you where you heard it, because it was a couple of decades before you moved to Clemson. Mm-hmm. And you told me that your husband, Lawrence, used to go down to the cow pasture and would play with this young white girl over there. And she would tell him stories, and I guess he would tell her stories too.
Yeah. But that happened before I came down here.
But apparently here there were white and black kids that got to play together.
Yeah, they sure did. And there was a family who lived, the Skelton boys, the Skeltons. Both of them teaching over at the university now. And the Perrys, Garland Perry, and they would graze the cows down there near the river. That's before they changed the river, and they take the cows down there and graze the cows, the Perrys and the Skeltons and Lawrence. You know, they played together, but they weren't allowed to go to school together. I remember Tom Lynch. I went in his in the drugstore the other day, and he said, Alan says, you know what? I think about how silly people were. I said, do you know Fletcher Gideon and Bobby Mack? And I said, yeah, I know them. He said, well, you know, when we were growing up, he said, I used to go to that house and eat dinner. He said, play together and spend the night. He said, but we couldn't go to school together. He said, I don't know why. He said, I always wondered why we had to separate like that. And he said, they were my best friends, but we never did lose friendship because of that. He said, but we couldn't go to school together. So, but we'd go to each other's football games, and they'd come to our, and saying, I love to go there and eat and spend the night. And it was the same way when Lawrence and I were growing up. We played with white kids, but we knew we couldn't go to school together with them.
Or to church.
Or to church.
Or to the picture show.
Or to the show either. If we went, we had to go upstairs and they stayed downstairs.
You've been numbers of places. Grew up in Westminster, now living here. You were in Rocky Hill, spent some time in
New York.
Mm-hmm. Particularly for the years where you were growing up, did you have any sense of whether there were better places in this whole area for black people to live than others? Were there some towns or areas where there were more advantages or there was less discrimination?
I don't think there was any less discrimination in women. But I know there were people who had, not Clemson, I thought the people here were more fortunate because they had the university and it was easy to get jobs. Although they were in the dining hall and in the laundry and places like that. And then by this being a I call it transit, people coming in and go, they had a lot of homes that you could stay in and work and make your money like that. But there was discrimination even here.